substantial body of literature exists for bees and beekeeping and controlling the pests on bees, and periodically periodically there are these anecdotal ideas that are published regarding using smoke to control varroa mites, and using certain plant materials seems to be more effective than others, so I thought I would investigate this. As we just heard about very eloquently, the varroa destructor is an ectoparasite on the honeybee. It's one of the largest parasites known in relation to the body size of its host. It feeds on the blood of the bees and developing pupa, and can spread pathogens and may be a contributing factor in the colony collapse disorder which we've been experiencing. And a high infestation of varroa mites can certainly cause death of a bee colony. It's had a major impact on the industry of beekeeping in the United States and worldwide. And the varroa mites are now occurring in all of North America and most of the world, except for perhaps Australia. The current treatment methods for varroa mites usually include chemical miticides like fluvalinate and Kumafos, which the mites have developed resistance to very rapidly in a lot of places, rendering them rather ineffective. Organic acids and essential oils from plants have also been gaining a little bit of ground, especially in Europe, but they're starting to take hold here too. They also have problems associated with them. They're both temperature dependent. They have to volatilize, so they can't be used in cold weather. There has been some debate about whether they affect the fecundity of the queen bee and the overall health of the worker bees that are exposed to them. And they have also been shown in some studies to affect the flavor of the honey when they're used during a nectar flow. All of these are not really for use during a nectar flow. The chemicals are strictly forbidden when the bees are actively foraging. There's also some cultural techniques such as a screen bottom board and drone foundation that people use, but these are generally considered too labor intensive for a large scale commercial operation. But there are numerous anecdotal claims that treatment with smoke works, and these ideas are put forth by beekeepers themselves at local meetings where they get together and share ideas, and they also turn up on discussion boards on the internet, and sometimes they also appear in the literature in articles about smoke treatments, and sometimes just in a single line or two buried within the context of another broader article. And when this happens, a lot of times it generates more publicity in the general press and in the more popular beekeeping journals as to the effectiveness of these methods, and a lot of times they make broad claims as to how well these methods work, which further reinforces the opinions of the beekeepers. But these published scientific research backing these ideas is generally lacking. There are potential advantages of using smoke as a treatment. For one thing, beekeepers use smoke regularly when they work with bees for the calming effects that it has on them, and we've known that for centuries. Plants contain lots of active biological compounds, many of which were evolved in the plants to deter insect and mites for herbivory. And smoke is a transient treatment. Once you fill a hive with smoke, it dissipates on its own, and so it can be used during a honey flow where miticides and other treatments cannot, because it does not contaminate the honey. So during the summertime, when the mites are reaching their highest levels, but the bees are still actively foraging, it could be useful to be able to knock down the level of mites. So the objective of my study were to determine if smoke does indeed have any effect on the mite levels in general, and to test some specific plants that were mentioned in the literature and see what effects that smoke might have on the mite populations. So it begs the question, what kind of smoke? This is a partial list of some of the plants that I ran across in my literature search. And I narrowed down the list a little bit for availability, what I could get my hands on, and also the number of references that I could find, see what people are suggesting to use. Red sumac is one of the most popular ones that's mentioned a lot. It's also just a popular fuel for smokers. It makes a large red seed head on the top that burns slow and puts out a good volume of smoke, so a lot of people use it. It grows wild all over our area, so it's readily available, and you can gather up as much as you want for free. Sassafras root is another one that's mentioned in the literature. Sassafras trees also grow wild in our area, So this was another one that was readily available to me. Grapefruit leaf does not grow in Arkansas, but it was mentioned in the literature as having an effect on knocking varroa levels down in the hives. So I included that in my study for comparison. This one, pixoy fruit, is it's the seed pod of a tree that grows in Mexico and down into South America and in the Caribbean. It's very common. And this one was introduced to me by some beekeepers in the Yucatan Peninsula. Pixoy is the common name in the Mayan language. And I was told by the beekeepers there that they burn these seed pods when they're dry in their smokers, and it knocks all the mites down, and it kills them dead, and they don't have any problem with them there. So that sounded too good to be true, so I got the permits to import some of these, and I included this in my experiments. I also included shortleaf pine needles because that's the smoker fuel that I use generally. Our experimental farm is a pine grove next to the bee hives, and I have not noticed over the years that we have been keeping bees there that there's been any drastic effect on the on the levels of mites when we're using pine needles. So I included this as sort of a baseline to see if any kind of smoke at all would knock down varroa mites. Pine does contain terpenes and other compounds too. Now, Arkansas is home to some of the largest beekeeping operations in the country, so I was able to conduct a field experiment on a large scale with a number of hives that have all been under identical conditions for a long time. And we expected the mite levels to vary some, but be fairly consistent. So I conducted a study in August of 2007 in eastern Arkansas. It's in the Mississippi Delta. There's a lot of farmland there. It's about an hour north of Memphis on the other side of the river. And the bees there were actively foraging on soybean. There's several thousand acres of it in this area. And the hives that I was using had been treated in February with a miticide, but had not been treated since because they were still actively collecting honey. And so we expected to find high levels of mites in all of these hives. I used a completely randomized design. I just chose 36 hives at random, and I assigned 6 treatments, the 5 plant materials I talked about, and a control which got no smoke. And I put 6 hives in each of those treatments. And first thing I did was take a pre-treatment sample. I collected 300 bees out of each hive, and I took nurse bees off the brood comb because the varroa mites tend to congregate more near the brood where they have a chance to go inside the cells when they're ready to pupate, and they can go through their reproductive cycle on the developing bee. I stored them in ethanol, took them back to my lab, and I shook them on an orbital shaker, and I estimated the number of mites per bee. I treated each hive with smoke using the standard smoker, which I outfitted with a gooseneck spout on the end to minimize the burning debris falling down into it. I also collected mites over 24 hours post-treatment with a sticky trap, and I counted up how many mites fell after I treated. And then after treatment, when I took the screens out, I took a post-treatment sample of bees, just like above. I took 300 bees, I shook them in ethanol to see if there was a difference in the mite density over a 24-hour period. Then I repeated this over the next 2 weeks, so I had 3 weeks of sampling. And I evaluated the plant materials for their effectiveness based on the 24-hour mite fall and for changes in the mite density. And this graph shows my control hives. This is the mean for all 6. On the left side is expressed in mites per 100 bees that I found. The pre-treatment sample and the first post-treatment, they were 24 hours apart, and then the next 2 were each a week later. And you can see there is no difference in the level of mites in the hive across the 3 weeks. The right axis over there shows the mites that I caught in the sticky traps, and the number did decline a little bit. I'll get into that in just a second. This shows the red sumac. Also, there was not a great difference in the level of mites across the treatment hives in any of these 3 weeks. And sassafras root, glancing this one, it might look like it really knocked down the mites, but just because of random chance and Murphy's Law, all 6 of the hives in this treatment had very low numbers of mites to start with, and so I did not see any great effect at all with the sassafras root. Grapefruit leaf, also for the first couple of weeks, there was no significant difference. The 3rd week there was a resurgence of mites, and I'm not sure what to attribute that to, except maybe just the that time of year when mites are on the increase. And the pixoy fruit, as well did not cause any significant change in the levels of mites in the hives, and shortleaf pine as well. This graph here shows the number of mites that I caught in my trap. You can see the control hive, I caught an average of 50 mites, and none of the smoke treatments seemed to dislodge any greatly increased level of mites from any of them. A couple of them just had low numbers of mites, but if a smoke was going to be very effective, then I would have expected some of these to be much higher. The same thing happened on the second week, and again on the third, there was no great difference in the number of mites that were falling off naturally with no smoke and with smoke treatments. So in conclusion, none of these smokes that I tested seemed to dislodge a significant proportion of the mites that would be effective as a treatment, and as compared to the control hives. But there is a little bit room for further evaluation. I'd like to repeat the study in the spring, and I'd like to do it before there's a honey flow, so that I can validate these results, but also to compare them with some kind of chemical miticide. And a lot of people helped me with the field work and my lab work, and helping me to collect the plant materials from different places. And I would be happy to take any questions you guys might have.
There actually is no time left for questions. But
sorry?
It is time for break, so...